Patriarchy also governed the rules of inheritance in pre-Islamic Arabia, according to which all property passed to the nearest male relative of the deceased. In contrast, the Quran gave rights to wives, daughters, sisters, and grandmothers of the deceased, guaranteeing them a fixed share before the inheritance, the remainder of the inheritance, could pass to the senior male. Men still inherited more than women, a fact that reflected gender relations in a male-dominated society, as well as a male's greater economic responsibilities. In practice, however, Quranic and legal reforms were often circumvented by families whose women were either ignorant of their rights or intimidated into not pursuing them. With the creation of modern nation-states in the 20th century, many Muslim governments implemented Western-inspired legal codes. However, family law was subject to reform rather than replacement. Among the key areas of concern were marriage, polygamy and child marriages, divorce and inheritance. This process of reform often set in motion a struggle between governments and their Western-oriented elite, who legislated or imposed change from above, and the ulama, religious scholars, who saw themselves as the defenders of the tradition of Islam and as the only qualified interpreters. Reforms raised the minimum age for marriage, requiring that men obtain permission from a court to take a second wife or to divorce, and expanded the grounds for women to obtain a divorce. Faced with resistance to legal reforms, governments did not pursue systematic reform, and compromises were made. Often the penalties, fines, and imprisonment for failure to comply with the law were minimal, were relatively light. The force of religious tradition could be seen in the fact that failure to comply with reform laws rendered an act illegal but not invalid, since few governments were willing to replace Islamic law and be accused of abrogating Sharia or God's law. Thus, if a man took another wife, his second marriage would be illegal and his progeny illegitimate in the eyes of the law, but not invalid in the eyes of God, according to many Islamic jurists. The tenuousness of family law reforms became evident in Muslim countries such as Iran and Pakistan in recent decades, as conservative ulama and Islamic movements pressed for their repeal. More fundamentalist and conservative voices reject reforms as un-Islamic and motivated by Western-oriented elites. They continue to pose a major obstacle to substantive reforms. However, the momentum today for greater gender equality and the growing empowerment of women have increased pressure for and debate over substantive reform in many Muslim societies. Now we move or shift from the exterior path to the interior path, Sufism or mysticism. Like Islamic law, Sufism or Islamic mysticism began as a reform movement in the Umayyad Empire. Sufis found the emphasis on this life, in contrast to the next, on power and wealth, on Islam as a system of laws and rules, to be spiritually lacking. In contrast to the exterior path of law and duty, they emphasized the more interior path of piety and devotional love. These early Sufis or mystics were motivated by a desire to return to what they regarded as the purity and simplicity of the time of Muhammad that led them to seek direct and personal experience now of God in this world. They pursued an ascetic lifestyle that emphasized detachment from the material world, repentance for sins, and focus on the last judgment. This ascetic lifestyle was symbolized by their wearing of a simple, coarse woolen garment. Early Sufis dedicated themselves to a life of prayer, fasting, meditation on the Quran, and imitation of Muhammad. The early mystics typify the concerns and spirit of Sufism. Hasan al-Basri, who lived from 643 to 728, an eminent scholar, typifies the ascetic reaction to the extravagances, what he considered to be the decadence of imperial Islam. Thus he declared, "The lower material world is a house whose inmates labor for loss, and only abstention from it makes one happy in it. He who befriends it in desire and love for it will be made wretched by it, and his portion with God will be laid waste. For this world has neither worth nor weight with God, so slight it is."